Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is a former rocket scientist that has been involved with alternative healing since early 1980s, Dave the Mystic. Now, Dave, we were talking about karma burning right before we had to take the break, and I want to let you get back to that before we take some questions.
Sure. So what I was shown when I was being taken on this tour by Joao Kuhl in the spiritual plane was a great big crystalline house, and the occupant of that was a spiritual person named George. And it turned out that George was being presented to me because George was able to burn karma. And what I found on that was when I talked to George, he said, well, you can do it too. And I was led to understanding on a guided meditation to help people burn karma. And this is burning the karma for all of their lives, not just their present life. Why is this being encouraged by the spiritual plane? It's because we're reaching a point where we're moving upwards so fast in vibration, and things are going to be changing sometime in the very near future, whether that's 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, that we don't have the time in our current vibrational level to do the thing that you view with the old time or older view of karma, where, well, gee, if you do something bad, like you shoot and kill a person, then in the next lifetime, you're going to come back and you may be a victim so you can experience that. And in another lifetime, you might come back and you might be the victim's mother so you can experience what that's like. That takes hundreds and hundreds of years to satisfy all those situations. And we just don't have the time anymore. And from what I'm gaining, my understanding of the universe is that the universe agrees with that viewpoint. And so the traditional view of karma is going away. We may still have some form of karma that says there are lessons that you agree that you need to learn to spiritually progress. But the old idea of you're going to have multiple lifetimes where you experience every different angle of an event, those are going away. And so I've been given a gift of having a guided meditation that I can walk people through to release their karma for all lives at all times. And it does give a great sense of relief to many people. They do at some level perceive that they're hauling around sort of this wagon behind them with all these energies.
Let's go back to when you were talking about you being a psychopomp and that is escorting souls crossing the line over to the, you know, the spiritual plane.
Yes.
I can't think right now. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. But so I'm already thinking ahead of my question to it. So when that happens, do you ask them, hey, do you want to cross over, or you just take them over, say, hey, here's where you need to go? Do you ask them? Do they ever say no? How's that work?
I differ from a number of mediums who go out with people who do paranormal investigations. I don't negotiate with earthbound spirits anymore on whether or not they want to go. The proper place for them to be is back in the spiritual plane. And anything that they think they want to do here energetically, once they're in the spiritual plane and they remember who they are and they get some training on how to interact with our reality, they will be much more effective and much more capable of following up their desires and wishes to interact with us than they would be if they're just in the astral plane. So I really don't ask for permission at this point. Some people might disagree with me, but everything is about us making spiritual progress and evolving. And when you're in the astral plane and you're stuck there, you can't evolve. You can't fulfill that purpose.
So here's going to be kind of a personal question. You ready?
Yeah.
I won't get too crazy, but so do you believe in God?
You know, the guy in the white robe, you know, sitting on the throne, no. In terms of, is there a consciousness to the universe that has a purpose and has an expression, and are we extensions of that to help it understand itself? Absolutely. This is a funny one that comes up in the book, The Field, by Lynn McTaggart, where she interviews all of these quantum physicist, and she flat out asks them, do you believe in God? And they say, no. And then she says, do you think that there's a universal consciousness that and energy that pervades everything? And they say, oh, absolutely, yes. So it's kind of one of those things, you know, you say potato, I say potato. So absolutely, there's an organizing consciousness to all of this. And to a great degree, I believe that we are co-creators. We're helping to manifest on a joint basis our reality here, but there's nothing here, and this goes clear back to the Greeks, there's absolutely no way on this planet with our tools that you can prove objectively that what you think is out there is out there. So we could all be like in the Matrix, we're all in our pods, we're plugged into a thing that's feeding us signals off of a computer. We can't tell the difference. We don't have an objective test to determine that our reality out there is really out there.
That's where faith comes in, correct?
Well, faith, but I like to view it as once you start meditating, once you start experiencing, once you start gaining this knowingness, you don't need faith. You have a knowingness. You can approach it with one of the classic statements, I know that I know that I know. And if people say, well, okay, I'll call your bluff on that. What do you know? You say, I can't tell you. I just know that I know it. And I think that's a great goal for people's spiritual growth is to reach that point where they have a comprehension of the grandeur and the greatness of the universe, even if it doesn't translate into words or into our 3D reality as an explanation.
I know the I know that I know that I know thing, and those just pop up out of nowhere. As well as you go along your journey, it's just you just know that you know.
Yes.
It's always the bigger thing of what you don't know that you don't even know that you don't know, where it's just gigantic and huge for us. So it was in 2009 that you had developed profound relationships with high-level beings of light. And you said that you are called to other universes to help stop wars and epidemics and other races. That sounds very similar to some of the super soldiers. The younger guys that are asked to do things in the middle of the night. Do you know what I'm talking about with the super soldiers?
I've heard other expressions. I'm not familiar with that one, but that your explanation is pretty clear on that.
Yep. So tell us about that, stopping wars and epidemics and other races.
Yeah, one of the early ones that really got my attention was in my meditation, I was called to go help with an epidemic. And they said, now, Dave, you're going to have to be careful to control your emotions on this because these people don't look like you. They're sentient beings. And so I go to another planet, you know, how different in reality, I don't know, from even our universe. But I'm on another planet, and I'm taken into what looks like a hospital ward. And when I'm in there, all of the beings in there look like June bugs. And yeah, absolutely, you have to, they're all sentient beings. They're very different from human form. And there's an epidemic going on, and my healing talents and insights and skills are needed. And so I help as best I can. And, you know, all the while there, I'm having to say, okay, stay focused. You know, these folks don't look like you. And so that was one of the experiences, but another one on
giant June bugs, right? Giant ones.
Well, they're, who they knows little? What the scale was, but seeing June bugs in hospital beds in long wards, there's something that tickles you about that just because we're so human centric and, we're not terribly open to, sentient beings showing up in other forms, especially if they look like something that we consider to be a lower life form here.
Mm-hmm. And so then you saw something other than a June bug.
Well, I've seen many other beings on these other planets. One that I was taken to, the sentient beings look like tall, almost stone-like mushroom shapes, so like a vertical shaft and then a disc on top. And I saw them in some different sizes. And why I was called there was there was another race that was showing up. They didn't realize that these were sentient beings, and they were essentially going to just kind of scour the surface of the planet in preparation for what they wanted to use the planet for. And if they did that, it would wipe out this race of sentient beings who they propagated slowly. They grew very slowly by most people's time scales, and yet they were thinking and they were communicating. So I had to intervene there. I was asked to come in and alert the other race that, no, this is a populated planet. These are thinking, feeling beings, and you can't just come here and scour the planet. It's unacceptable.
Are you an artist at all?
Yes, I do bronze sculpture.
Oh, okay. You must draw these or build these or create these in some way so you can show them off of how they look. That would be a bestseller for you right there.
I did that in a form a number of years ago. I was taking some psychic development classes, and they had us do an art project. And one of the things that happens in the spiritual plane is there's an area that when people die as children, they may go there for a while to sort of mature and continue experiencing a child point of view before ultimately they're brought back up to speed to being spiritual adults, I'll say. And so there is a children's land, and I got to know one of the women there who organized and ran that, but there were different housing units for groups of children, and they were in very unique settings. So one looked like sort of a giant toucan, and you would walk up inside, and so there was some like porthole-like windows under the wings, which were extended. And there's another one that the whole roof looked like a waterfall coming down, and salmon were leaping in it continuously. So you could go outside as a child and watch that for your housing unit. And another one looked like a giant ladybug where the children were living inside this structure that looked like that. So I did make sculptures of those out of clay so people could see some of the things that I'd seen.
When you visit these other worlds, is it while you're meditating? So your body's here.
Yeah.
And then,
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like bilocating with remote viewers. Well, let's go to the phones here and go to wildcard line number one, Alyssa out of Portland, Oregon. Hi there, Alyssa. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi. Meet Dave the Mystic.
Hi, how are you?
Just listening to you just made me think of a whole bunch of other questions, but I'll stick with my original question. So I know that sometimes these old, like, romantic married couples will want to wait for the other to pass so that they can cross over together. And my question is do pets ever do that? Do they ever wait for their parent, for their master before they cross over?
Pets are an interesting category because pets sort of come out of a central consciousness where it is the consciousness of dogs. It is the consciousness of cats. However, there are some that are particularly advanced or evolved, and in some cases, pets, dogs, cats, horses in particular, may be so advanced that they are promoted in a way and given an opportunity to start getting on the path of being on the human soul advancement path. So that does happen. It doesn't happen routinely, but it can happen. And in the spiritual plane, you can be reunited with pets. If you had a dog you particularly liked, the energy can be formed so that that dog is recreated for you, and you kind of continue in that relationship if you desire. So there are variations there, but it is a possibility there. In terms of people waiting one for another, that to me is kind of discouraging, and I'll tell you why. Again, it's the idea that if you're in the astral plane, you really don't know how to manage your spiritual properties. But if you go to the spiritual plane and you go through the life review process, you come back up to speed on who and what you are, now you're much better equipped to interact with people here who are still physical. And, you know, you can do the things where you drop pennies or you drop dimes, or they turn on the radio and they hear a favorite song, and it brings your memory to heart for them. You're equipped to do that, whereas in the astral plane, you really don't know how to do those things to continue to make your presence known.
Thank you, Alyssa. That was a good question to ask, because I would wonder about that myself. So, Dave, you brought to mind again something for me, just like Alyssa had said, you brought up more questions for her as you were talking. But the old life review thing, all I can remember when you've said that to me before, too, is good old Albert Brooks, right? And Defending
yes.
Your Life.
Wonderful movie, yes.
Oh, it was fantastic. So when they show where every food you eat tastes delicious, except for the one that the other famous actor had that tasted horrible.
Rip Torn.
Oh, that was so funny. So they were reviewing their lives, and you know, some of them had these great adventures a long time ago, and of course Albert had some horrible ones. But is it kind of similar to that? Is that what you see that people go through with a life review?
I think the first thing is, a life review is not intended to punish you in any way. Picture yourself being in a large room, a great big circular room, and there are big screen TVs all around you. And with the controls that you have there, you can look at different events in your life. You can zoom in. You can see them from the different participants' point of view, how they perceived what you said, what you did, what you didn't do, whether they felt betrayed, whether they felt honored. And you look at the good things and the not so good things. And this really isn't an attempt to punish you. It's not an attempt to make you feel bad or ashamed. It's more to give you an opportunity to say, I had a life chart. I had a purpose when I lived that life. Did I fulfill the goals that I had there? And if I didn't, where did I kind of fall down? Could I keep these in mind when I'm looking at the next incarnation to once again attempt some of these things to do a better job, to have an opportunity to make the right decisions? So it's not about punishment at all. It's about, again, helping you spiritually advance and grow. The movie we're talking about is Defending Your Life. And the twist on that was Albert Brooks had to show that he should stay in the spiritual plane and potentially be a life partner with Meryl Streep, who had a wonderful life, and to show that he could make a decision. And that was his goal, was making decisions. And he had a whole life of either choosing poorly or not choosing at all and letting decisions be made around him and failing. And here was his one chance while he was going through this process to actually make a decision to grow and expand and do the right thing.
He is, I just love his movies. I love him, love him, love him, love that man. Well, Dave the Mystic is who we are talking to, and we're taking your phone calls. We'll continue to do that. The next hour, we've got Ray the Sorcerer for Hire coming up, talking about some similar things. And again, like I said, taking your questions, so stay with us. Connie Willis here with Dave the Mystic on Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. Happy to be here. You can also catch me on my show, BlueRockTalk.tv. We have Bigfoot Friday for our Thursday, and On the Road with Connie. And this next month coming up, we're going to be going to Waverly Hills, that huge sanatorium that you know is pretty haunted. We can maybe ask Dave about that. Wait a minute, maybe not. Just a reminder too. Some of you guys, right? You do not know where we're going. Don't forget, some of you are already starting to change your clocks back. Some of you, right before you go to bed, you just go ahead and change it so you don't have to worry about it. But when you wake up at the same time to go to church or wherever you're going to go in the morning time, yep, you're going to feel like, man, I don't feel like I got enough sleep. That's right, because you're changing the clocks back. So you back it. Wait a minute. Help me out here, Dave. We spring forward,
we fall back.
We're falling back. So we actually...
You get an extra hour.
We get an extra hour. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for being there for me there, Dave. Appreciate
sure,
that.
Sure.
Yeah. So an extra hour, so we're going to feel better. Okay. Love that extra hour. Ugh, makes all the difference. How about you? When you sleep better, do you clear people in a better way?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? Everything's great. Your significant other feels better. Everybody's happy. Get sleep, people. Take advantage of this. So Dave the Mystic is with us, former rocket scientist. He's taking your questions. And I have very, very many of them here, so I want to get to them, Dave. But I just want to make sure that beforehand, I want to make sure that you can tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and how they can take advantage of your services.
Sure. The first place to go to would be my website. It's www.davethemystic, just like my name, .com. And I have my contact information on there, and I have a description of services. I describe every type of entity and energy I'm going to clear. I also talk about my other healing services, and I have the pricing on there. So everything is there. So again, davethemystic.com. And I'd be happy to hear from people. I think we talked about one of my other services, and I'm willing to do a promotion through the end of the year for listeners to this show, is I have a worksheet for helping people on discerning their spiritual gifts. So it has close to 30 different types of gifts, whether it's the clairs, like clairaudient, clairvoyant, or it's into the healing gifts, different types of healing, different types of divination, such as tarot or rune stones, palm reading, things like that, and getting down to channeling and mediumship. Something that many people come to me is, wow, I just saw this other reader, and they said, you're so psychic, you should be on this side of the table. And then they ask me, what does that mean? Doing what? This is your way to find out. And this is normally a one-hour appointment, and I discern those gifts by muscle testing on your behalf. This is all on the phone. And we work with the worksheet and those categories. I come out with a score of 290 or above, and I'll explain the numbers later. Those are the ones that you can most easily develop, and we can talk about how you would develop those. And so, whereas this would normally be a $90 one-hour appointment, I'm willing to do this half price for listeners on this show for $45 through December 31st. So I'd be happy to hear from people who want to find out where they could have skills and where they could most easily develop those gifts if they choose to.
Hey, I wanna learn how to go see those June bugs that are looking at me and listening to me intently for my advice. That's what I want to see. It's funny that you mentioned the June bug look, because I've heard the actual remote viewers, the psychic spies, the ones in the military, talk about some of the things they've seen along the way, and they were bug related. They usually are kind of bug related. So. I wonder what happened to where on this planet there are little tiny things that you can happen to, you know, squash just as you walk along. But yet on other planets, they seem to, or here visiting, they seem to be way more intelligent than us. So kind of interesting, the whole thing. It's got to be something to that. We'll think about that. All right. So Dave the Mystic taking questions right now. Let's head over to, wow, there's so many. Oh, my goodness. How about wildcard line number 3, Mary out of Louisiana. Hi there, Mary. Welcome to Coast. Meet Dave the Mystic.
Okay. Thank you, Connie, for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to know, how can I help myself be more healthy, and I would like to know what can I do more in order to be able to help others in their finances and prosperity in life, because I'm a giver, and I would love to be able to see what I can do more in order to help others that are sick and don't have during the time I'm at a cash register. Maybe someone just needs money for something, and I would just like to be able to do that.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. That's a good one.
Motivated, yeah. On this, Mary, and this is one of those things where a couple things. One is for you to become more clear on this so that your own, I'll say, subconscious blockages aren't in the way for you, but also to remove those blockages for other people and those perceptions that you have. It's easy to look at people out there and say, oh, this poor person, they're homeless, they're doing this or that, but they may be there for a lesson for you to help you become more clear on what you think is the ultimate value in a life and not judging people on that. But the same thing is true on health in terms of misperceiving other people. So part of this is, what is your clarity to get rid of your beliefs that might interfere with being able to help these people, and then to be a good person to help them to understand how to become clear on their own and to get rid of their own beliefs about their limitations and their lacks. We grow up with so many messages in this society about, you can't do that, you can't expect to do that, it's unlikely you'll ever be able to succeed in that, why would you ever try that? And these are healthy things for you to clear out of your own consciousness, your own thoughts, as well as then being able to be somebody who can inspire others and help them to escape their thought patterns that hold them back. So here's a great opportunity for you to use your motivation and your desire to help others to sort of clear out the riffraff in your own thinking, and then to help others reach the same point so that they can move forward in their lives.
So that was a great question. Very motivated as well. Thank you, Mary, for that. I want to go back to last hour when we were talking. You were talking about your radio friend that could stall things out and control stuff. Did he teach you how to do that? Did he tell you what he does?
He didn't teach me. He just kind of stumbled on it himself. He didn't have any goal to develop this. It just showed up for him. And I think something very telling, I said, well, how do you think you do it? And he said, I don't do it, Dave. I don't force it, he said. I let it happen. And that falls in line with so much of what I read in other esoteric literature where people don't make something happen. It's like if you want to be clairvoyant, it's hard to make clairvoyance happen. Many more people have clairvoyance out of the corner of their eye, but as soon as they focus their attention on it, it goes away. And I think it's the same thing with this, that he lets things happen. I think at some level, he changes the probability of something that is highly unlikely to happen on its own. Impossible odds. I think he's able to change the odds on that happening so that it does happen and it becomes very likely to happen. So I think that's sort of where he gets to in his consciousness on letting things happen like that.
Interesting. Okay. I just think that's amazing. You could have so much fun with that, you know, you can turn the lights off and on. You can, like you're talking about, stalling the cars out, stall them all out so you can get through the traffic. There's so many things you can do with that. That would be so fun to be able, but isn't that, that's just PK.
Yes, it is. It's PK, but it's PK in a big way. I haven't really come across other people in the literature who were able to do it that consistently and at that scale.
What about him winning that $1 million with the great Randy guy?
You know, amazing. I've Randy. Heard stories about people that I believe are credible who have demonstrated to the intent of what the test is with the amazing Randy, and he denies it. So I think his mind is so closed to it that you would never win with that, because he just couldn't bring himself to admit that you had a gift like that that defies normal explanation.
If somebody could throw at him like the ET, where they zombie you out, if your buddy could zombie him out and not move, I bet he'd give that $1 million just to be able to move again. that's what you do to him. So back to the phones, and we'll try to see if we can catch a couple more before Dave has to go. Wild card line number four, Mike out of Colorado. Hey there, Mike. Welcome to Coast. How are you?
Good evening, Connie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've actually seen a couple of your lectures. They were brilliant lectures about the afterlife and kind of earthbound spirits, and I just wanted to let you know I really enjoyed them.
Well, I have
a couple of questions for you. The first about being about earthbound spirits. So there is this quote I'd like to read and get your opinion on it, and this is from the physicist Stephen Hawking. So his quote is, "I regard the brain as a computer, which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or hell for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark." I think that's a very interesting quote, and it goes to speak to the genius that he was, that he kind of had a great understanding of this. And also, I have one more question, because I have to ask, because it's kind of interesting. How did you guys both get your starts in kind of the paranormal realm? And thank you for taking my call, Connie.
Thank you, Mike. So, Dave, go for it.
Stephen Hawking, you know, I feel like, you know, whether it's me or other mediums, we could go talk to him and see if he still holds the same view now that he's in the spiritual plane walking around and enjoying that existence rather than just saying, oops, I'm dead and I'm gone. So that's how I view that there's a lot of people who apply too much logic to the idea that there is no continuation of our consciousness. I think there's just too much energetic inertia to our lives to not have this continuation of consciousness in another form, even if our physical body is stopped functioning.
Yeah, I just know we will always be. First thing I ever remember as a 3-year-old, we will always be.
Mm-hmm.
And that sums it up for me. That was a message I got immediately, the first one ever in my life. And that kind of answers Mike with where it all began with me. That you will always be. If you can imagine, just if there's a way you can pull yourself into yourself and feel that core, you're always going to exist. I know there's so many people, and I know that I know that, like you like to use that phrase. The people that don't grasp that, I feel bad for, because a lot of people are afraid to die. And I feel that, well, you know, I don't want to yet. I got plenty of things I want to do before that. But I know that it's kind of more like, wow, I wonder what's going to be next, in an exciting way.
Yeah. The other thing I'll bring up, because I haven't mentioned to you, I went missing when I was 4 years old on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I have 3 older brothers, and we were in a neighborhood that was full of kids. And everybody, my mom got so concerned that she shook out all the kids to go search the house, to search the bushes, to search other people's houses, to find little Davy. I mean, that was that nickname that I didn't care for very much, being called Davy, but I was missing. And I've always wondered about that, because I was missing for about three or four hours, and then suddenly somebody found me where I was sleeping, and I was on the floor between a bed and the wall where a window was. And that would have been a place that they would have seen repeatedly, because they're looking in closets. They're making sure I wasn't playing hide and seek as a 4-year-old, you know, where I was trying to evade people. And so I went through a regressive hypnosis session with somebody who'd been trained with a Dolores Cannon system. And what I found was that I had flagged down a spacecraft that was going over, and they were my Palladian brothers from a very recent incarnation. And I kind of beamed myself on board and spent time with them. And I saw this in the hypnosis session, and it wasn't something that just been suggested to me that this is a possibility. I was looking for what it was, and this imagery all came to me. And so that kind of answered the question. So I think in some way, this is a life that was already destined to be remarkable with some of these gifts, talents, opportunities. And I just kind of had to see how the path was going to lay out in front of me, and not be too scared or weirded out by it, you know, by getting too big a dose at any one time.
That's, you know, everybody kind of takes it as I was missing. Everybody's looking for me. This could be a horrible thing. It's going to be on true crime kind of show. And yet, when it's on Coast to Coast, even though we do true crime, it usually ends up being some sort of alien thing. So I was like, oh, and he's by a window. Okay, alien thing, alien thing. So I got you. I understand that. That's cool. It is amazing the stories that come out like that that you hear here on Coast to Coast. It just brings up all the other people's stories that are very similar to yours, and or I should say accounts. I'm trying to get off of the word story because sometimes that's just a
That
story.
sounds
But
like fiction.
yeah, I want it to be an actual account. So thank you for being here, Dave the Mystic. It's nice to get to know you and hear your thoughts and your ways and the different things that you've learned in your journey, especially from a rocket scientist. So before you leave, do you have anything you'd like to say?
We're just moving forward so rapidly that I was just ask people to remain open and not be not get too scared of what's coming. We have many challenges here, and I think the challenges are to help people wake up and sort of grab the bull by the horns rather than to retreat and say, I can't handle this. And I think this is sort of like an initiation or a little bit of a test or a motivation to be ready to move forward spiritually when some of these big shifts really do happen. So I think this is just kind of a testing place for us, and don't take it so seriously. Don't just feel like, well, it's hopeless. You know, the oceans are going to rise, the planets go roast, the political system's going to ruin everything. Don't take it so seriously. Go out there
Excellent.
and have.
Go out there and have fun. And that's Dave the Mystic, everybody. See you later there, Dave. Thanks again for being with us. Coming up next, Ray the Sorcerer for Hire. Connie here. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.